Hi, everyone. This is Nancy, and I host the show The Metaphysical World and More. And today, it's my first show, and I have two very, very special ladies on air with me today. And one of their names is Alice Nixon, and the other one is Monica O'Malley. And both of them are very knowledgeable with what topic we're going to be talking about. And I am going to have each one of them explain a little bit about themselves so you kind of get an idea of who they are. So, Monica, let's start with you. Welcome both of you to the show first, both Allison and Monica.
Nancy.
So, Monica, let's talk about you. Now, you have an accent, so why don't you tell us where you're from?
Indeed, I do have an accent. I'm from Ireland. And
cool.
I work in the area of light wave stimulation therapy, which is a light device, and we use this device to help children with learning problems, reading and writing, concentration and memory, coordination and balance. And this therapy was developed by Dr. John Downing in California out of the field of optometry. And while he was working in optometry, he had the idea that he should bring this light therapy out into other professional bodies, i.e. nursing, teaching, psychology, counseling, and other alternative therapies. So this is the main area that I work in. My background would be in nursing, midwifery, and counseling.
Okay. And mm-hmm. So now we'll go over to Allison quickly. And Allison, you can tell us a little bit about yourself also, please.
Okay, my name is Alice Nixon.
Alice,
and
I'm sorry.
And I work in Northbrook, Illinois, in the United States. And I, too, work with light wave stimulation and sound therapy and a variety of other modalities. I am primarily a psychotherapist, and I learned, actually, about the Downing technique and how to use light wave stimulation from Monica up in Ireland about 10 years ago. Wasn't it 10 years ago?
It would be, yes.
And both of us do very similar kinds of therapies with our clients. I work also with kids with learning difficulties and people who want sports enhancement. I work with different psychotherapeutic issues such as anxiety, post-traumatic stress, depression, and any other of your garden variety of emotional difficulties that someone presents with wanting some sort of coaching in life.
Okay. Now, on part of your bios that I have, Alice, it talks about you using a strobic color light therapy.
Right.
Okay. Can you explain that to the listeners, please?
Strobic colored light therapy is what Monica was referring to as light wave stimulation. Is that I use one of two different devices. One is called a photon device, and the other is called a syntonizer. And both light devices have glass filters and a light projection system that projects color onto the face of the person who would be facing the device, bathing their face from their eyes right down to the top of their lip with color frequencies to affect whatever it is, the particular result that we're looking for to help people with optometric difficulties and our emotional problems that we might want to address, depending upon what they come to us for. And the syntonizer is also a color therapy device that I use more with those who have had a stroke or head injury. There's no flash element to the syntonizer, unlike the photon device, that there is a flash element to it. And some people have a propensity for photosensitive seizures, and so we have to be very careful when we address our clientele and take a history to be sure that there is no history of photosensitive seizures, because you can create a serious problem if you use flash rates of color by way of the eyes for certain clientele. So that's what colored strobic light therapy is, and I use that device. I use the photron device in conjunction with psychotherapy and make full use of the flash element of that device, because by entraining the brain to the particular frequency that I set the device, I can actually, almost without a person's complete control, conscious control anyway, entrain their brain to a theta, delta, alpha, beta brainwave state, which would be theta and delta being a very highly relaxed, almost pre-sleep or sleep state, like a hypnotic trance. so that I can work with them to address emotional issues, where I can keep them talking in awake and alert and in a beta, awake alert frequency, and also addressing the unconscious state, the alpha, theta, and delta brainwave state by use of the drive of the strobic flash in the instrument. And so it's like a psychotherapist's delight to be able to have the unconscious and the conscious have a conversation while they're looking at the device. We're talking about emotional past and belief systems, and by using those unconscious frequencies, we can have that wonderful conversation and change, literally change a person's mind about things and their perception.
Okay, interesting. Monica, I have a question for you also. Now, you're the one who actually taught Alice how to do this, so I'm going to pick on you a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Well, really pick on you. Just ask you a couple questions. Now, how long have you been knowing how to use the Downey technique?
I learned about the Downey technique in the early 90s. A therapist came back from Dr. John Downey, born at Tansy Lin, with this Lumatron. And I was studying psychology at the time, and I was doing a paper on if and how light affects our mood and behavior. And I was referred to Vona to get information about this light device. And I, during the process of that conversation, I told her some symptoms that I had. I had this seasonal depressive, seasonal affective disorder, or seasonal sad, or winter depression as it's known. And she said that her light device would help me significantly. And immediately she did an evaluation of how much light I was actually taking in through the eyes. It's a measurement. It's called the visual field of awareness. And that indicates how much light that my eyes are actually taking in and how much information the brain is actually receiving. So that's one of the first measurements that we take with children, or indeed with adults who come to our center. We take this eye evaluation, giving us an indication of how receptive the little light receptor cells are at the back of the eye, and then how efficiently that information has been sent to the brain. And from there, they go to the machine, and what we're looking for is which side of the spectrum of light that they would be more comfortable with to balance up their nervous system, which is deep within the brain, the autonomic nervous system. And the colors range from the red end, the long wave end of the spectrum, right through to the blue end of the spectrum. And so clients sit in front of this device, and they can actually indicate which color preference they would have. And we also measure the long and the short wave end to see if there's a deficit within their mind-body system. And once we have done that, then they are color-coded to a program that they will sit for 20 minutes over a period of 20 days. And the colors will stimulate and reactivate the cells at the back of the eye, and then the autonomic system deep within the brain will become more balanced, and therefore a lot of the presenting symptoms will dissipate. How about that?
And that's a lot. And actually, you know, I've always been very curious, because I like the sun. I like being out. I like light. I never lived in Alaska where there's 6 months worth of darkness.
We are light beings, and we actually need it. Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you're testing somebody, say that they have hyperactivity, which is better known as ADD, okay?
ADD, yes.
Are there the light that is going into their eyes, is it limited, or is it maybe an over amount?
Well, the receptor cells might be limited in the receptivity of all of the frequencies. And red frequency would probably be the only one that would be getting through in very large amounts, because it's feeding their hyperactivity. So what we need to do is to be able to measure the amount of light that's actually going in, and then give them the colors appropriate to their presenting issues. So children who have hyperactivity, they would always gravitate towards the red end, the red and the yellow end of the spectrum. But that might not be the best frequency to balance up their nervous system. So we would entice them to go over into the blue end of the spectrum so that they would calm them, they'd be able to calm themselves down. But then we have to take a history. Is their diet, are their allergies, and many other issues will be taken into consideration if they're on medication or not on medication. So it just depends on what the needs of the individuals are.
Okay. Do they do these kind of tests at some schools, or is it just where they have to make appointments to come to see, like, you know, one of you guys or somebody who's doing this?
Yes. No, usually the parents have exhausted every other route. They have gone to the school psychologists and they've gone to their doctors. They've become members of the hyperactive association, and maybe they've followed their diets and vitamin and supplement therapies, but the symptoms still persist. And somehow or other, they just turn to the alternative, and somebody tells them, somebody guides them to us, either a parent that has been satisfied with their children's treatment before, and they just knock on our doors and say, look, we've been everywhere else, can you help us? And that's usually how we get our clientele, by word of mouth, or some professionals would refer also. Teachers do know about us, and we get referrals occasionally. From teachers.
Not often enough.
Well, I was going to say, see, here's my idea of, but mine's, of course, a different kind than most people, because I don't necessarily agree with the school system the way it is. But with this kind of information and all of these kids that are on the Ritalin and all that stuff, if the schools would provide something like this or provide this when they're doing all the rest of their testing and stuff, don't you think that would be pretty valuable for the kids?
Well, we would love that, but it's just very difficult to bring such therapies in under the school system because of finances. Who's going to man? Is it going to be an outsider? Are we going to train teachers to work this system within the school? A lot of parents' committees are sort of very apprehensive because they think there might be side effects of this particular light therapy, if not within the years when the children are at school, but maybe down the line in 10 or 15 years' time, might there be problems that the school might be held responsible for later on. So there are a lot of implications about bringing such therapies into the school. If it came down the line from the line of psychology, or neurology, then they might be more open to accept it as an alternative, very, very beneficial therapy for these children who have learning problems, hyperactivity, dyslexia, coordination and balance, concentration and memory, and seasonal affective disorder. But until the schools can come to terms with acknowledging that, one, we can take it in, one, there's no responsibility on us, and I suppose the other one would be that there's very, very little that can side effect to taking this light therapy. The most side effect of the light therapy is that the child will get a pain in their head, and then we just stop that specific color and move them on to the next frequency. Or they might get very tired or sleepy. Or they might become more talkative instead of more calm. And these are all indications to us of when to change the frequency that we're using with the child. Other than that, this therapy has been going on since the 1930s, and there has been no long-term detrimental effect.
I want to add something here too, Nancy, is that so often therapies that are not mainstream therapies sound a little absurd and ridiculous, and until people become better educated about these other therapies, is they're not particularly willing even to pass on, in spite of their excellent results. Monica and I have both found that sometimes parents who even have had seen amazing results with their child or even with themselves are reticent to tell anybody else that they have agreed to participate in this kind of a therapy, because it sounds so crazy or because it's so unfamiliar to them, and there aren't any, you know, Journal of American Medical Association studies to back them up. So that's an added difficulty, I think. And it's true not only for us who are dealing with color frequencies and sound frequencies, but a lot of other alternative practitioners as well.
No, I agree 100%. And I have found, because I do know a lot of different healers, that they will help somebody, and it really does work. And then when the healer asks, you know, can you maybe give me a little testimonial, or, you know, did you mention it to your doctor? their answer usually is, no, I can't do that. And it's like, well, why not? And it's for exactly the reason you said, because, you know, somebody's going to think they're strange or weird. You know, and all along, what these people don't realize is that it has helped them, and they should be proud of that, because there are many other people probably who are suffering from some of the same stuff, if not exact the same stuff, that would benefit by hearing about it.
Exactly.
But people are strange like that. You know, they don't want to be classified as being weird or strange or why would you do something like that? And then the other comment I have is all of these kids that are on their drugs, they don't know what those side effects are going to be years down the road.
Exactly.
And even if they do, they're not telling the people. I mean, they know suicide is one of it, but they're not trying to take it off the market, and they're not trying to tell the people. You know, so to me, you know, the effects of a headache versus somebody who is thinking about killing themselves as a child, that's a pretty big difference there. You know, so I really think that people really need to open up, and even the medical profession, now it has opened somewhat, but it is still very closed to anything new coming in, and, you know, it really does need to change, because there are more and better ways of healing people than sticking them on some kind of a pill or cutting into their body.
Yes, that's very true. I think people are looking for a quick fix. As well, you know, even as parents, they will say, sometimes they will say, oh, it's easier to put my child on a tablet than, you know, attend a center for 20 minutes a day, or to put them on a program for 20 minutes a day over 20 days. And how do I know that this is going to be effective? Usually it takes about two series, which is 20 sessions per series, and a child rests for a month to 3 months, and then we'll repeat the series again. And that two series will last for about a period of 3 years, and then some mild symptoms might reoccur again when the child puts himself under stressful situations, like the exam situation. And all they would need would be to repeat a series of 20 sessions in 3 years' time. So they could do that periodically throughout their school years when they find themselves in exam situations. But once the cells have been stimulated and reactivated, and we get what we call a good functional field reading of what the rods and cones are doing, then they shouldn't have much problems later on in life. And they can repeat this non-invasive form of therapy throughout their lives if they need it. So it's very
It makes more sense to me than some of those alternatives out there. Alice, I have a question for you. Also on your bio, you talk about the heart math. Can you kind of explain that to me, please?
The heart math program is a wonderful home biofeedback program that is a home-based program. It's something that anybody can purchase online at heartmath.com. And it's based on your heart rhythms being in sync with your brain rhythms. That's really what the underlying objective of the HeartMath program is to teach you by using a little tool called the HeartMath program and the freeze framer aspect of the HeartMath program. You put a little ear sensor on, and then you click away on a program and watch your heart rhythms. And you're able to see by looking at a screen whether your heart rhythms and your brain rhythms are in sync. There are three bars, red, green, and blue. And ideally, you would reach for the blue bar to be most visible, and then the green bar is the next objective. Is that what that would mean? Is that there's something that the HeartMath people refer to as coherence, meaning that your brain rhythms and your heart rhythms are in sync. And the idea is to balance your autonomic nervous system, as Monica mentioned before, which is part of our objective too in using the color stimulation. And people learn when they come as a therapist, they come for a session, I show them how to use the device, and then I encourage them to buy the software and use it at home. It's a fabulous tool to teach people how to become more conscious of their bodies, to become more conscious of their thoughts. And another primary objective of the HeartMath program, other than the underlying physical balance of the nervous system, is to get you in control of your thoughts, to be aware when there are stressful thoughts, why the red bar lights up and it shows you that you are not in sync, that your brain and heart rhythms are not in sync. And it teaches you with breathing techniques and thought techniques about bringing in feelings of appreciation and things in your life that you've had that you can think about that are pleasant, and to relive those feelings. And then the blue bar hopefully starts to light up, and as you become more and more relaxed, the green bar lights up. And as you learn how to do this exercise over and over and over again, while you become entrained even to your own body, to be able to register even when you're walking along the street, when you are in what they call the zone, meaning that there is this coherence, this match of the harmonics of your brain rhythms and heart rhythms, that that they can be a very relaxed person under very stressful circumstances. The HeartMath people have really done their homework. They started this program and used as guinea pigs, if you will, the police and firemen. And they taught them how to use the freeze framer program, how to get to that place of coherence. And then they would take them off the software so that when they would be going to a difficult fire situation or a home violent situation, that they could just breathe their way into this coherent place and be better able to make better decisions when they're on the firing line. So I love it. It's got three other programs that one of them's really kind of fun, where you, if you're in the high state of coherence, why you fill this black and white picture that's a nature scene. It's kind of gory looking at first. As you breathe your way into this place of coherence, the color fills the picture fills with color. It's beautiful. Another one where you keep a balloon floating to the top of the sky, and as long as you stay in a place of coherence, the balloon will float along, and that's your indicator of when you are in a state of coherence and when you're not. And another one is filling up a pot of gold. These three different biofeedback programs that are very fun and easy to do is a kind of an enticement to even get kids to do this. They've done studies with kids with ADD and ADHD with this particular program, bringing those into the school, and found that kids who have ADD and ADHD do incredibly well, do better in their testing, having learned how to get this level of coherence by using the HeartMath program. And even the kids who already were very decent students did even better, because they were teaching them how to relax their nervous system, and then they were more receptive to learning and less stressed when it came exam time. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. I can't encourage people enough to check it out. Go to heartmath.com and check out their research and learn more about the program.
Okay. Great. Monica, I have another question for you. For the use of the light that you're talking about, you also talk about the chronic fatigue and chronic pain syndromes, how it also helps to relieve them.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, what we're dealing with here is getting life energy deep into the centers within the brain, the hippocampus, the amygdala, the hypothalamus, the thalamus. These are all major centers deep within the brain that regulate our feelings, our emotions, our biological rhythms, our respirations, our thirst, our pain threshold. And when the autonomic center, the autonomic system deep within the brain is out of balance, when the sympathetic, the fast system goes too fast, or the parasympathetic, the slow system goes too slow, then they will never come into coherence or come into balance, because they're running in opposite direction. So the whole idea of the specific frequency would be to find out which frequency would best bring the autonomic center into balance. And when this comes into balance, then the presenting symptoms will start to dissipate. That's the whole purpose of the treatment, to stimulate and reactivate the light receptor cells so that more light energy can reach the back of the eye. Then it's transformed into what we call photocurrent, which is a neurochemical that leaves the back of the eye and then it travels along the visual pathway deep into the midbrain, and from the midbrain goes to the visual center at the back of the cortex. And then from there, it's moved into all of the other areas within the brain itself. So we are focusing on reactivating at the root of entry, and then balancing up midbrain, and then sending energy and information to the back of the brain, and then moving that information around the whole cortex, the outer layer of the brain, for depth perception and understanding of what we see. The emotional system is in midbrain, so we hope to catch our hook into the emotional system and the pain center as well.
Okay, now
get a little bit of biology there, Nancy.
I know, but see, I enjoy stuff like this because, see, I find all of this fascinating for a couple reasons. One, this therapy has been around since the 30s. Now,
right.
With it being around since the 30s, we are talking about over 70 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So 70 years ago, if people knew how to do this, and today, being 70 years later, people are just starting to let it, you know, be better known. To me, it shows that there's a lot of, I don't want to be mean when I say this, but it shows that there's a lot of very big kept secrets from the public that they could have been making themselves much healthier,
Nancy,
much less diseases,
better
for the kids.
I hate to interrupt. Wonderful program. Absolutely fantastic. But we do have Marie here. And I just wanted to announce her and let her know, because I know you were saying today we probably wouldn't take calls. But we do have a Marie here who would like to talk with you.
That would be okay.
Would you like me to put her
okay
on the air?
Sure, that would be fine.
She'll be on the air in about 5 seconds. Thank you.
Okay, great. So what I was going to say is that, to me, that's a pretty sad state that we keep ourselves in. And I think that that's not so good. And I think Marie will be right with you. And I think that we need to try to make some changes with that. So, Marie.
We agree.
Oh.
I'm here.
So, welcome to the show,
Marie. In Illinois. How are you?
Doing well.
You guys sound terrific.
Good.
Thank
you.
Well, and Monica, you came all the way to the United States just to talk to me on the telephone, huh?
Oh, well, that's wonderful. The privilege is all mine, I can tell you.
Oh, thank you. See, anytime I can come in and just mess things up a little bit, I do. I just always like to shake people up on this show.
That's right.
And we don't like you, though. You know that. We just like to hear from you, Marie. That's all.
That's it. Well, I've got to keep my energy and things, you know. I have to make everybody giggle, so here I am. And then you could do your color therapy on me, and that could be a whole other show.
That would work. That would work.
You
never
know.
We might try that.
Even Marie can benefit from this therapy.
Marie could benefit from any therapy. I will let you guys go. I just thought I'd jump in and say, hello, you're doing wonderful. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Marie.
You're welcome. Bye, Monica. Bye.
God bless you.
Bye,
Marie. Thank you.
Thanks
for sharing.
Okay,
bye. Bye now. Monica, I also want to, now you teach it and you give lectures.
Yes.
Are you teaching any classes here in the United States now, or are you done and getting ready to go back home?
Well, I'm just planning to get ready to go back home. We have in the past, Alice and I have in the past, trained different therapists or introduced them to the Downing technique. Very few, I think, have actually taken
followed
it up.
Through.
Very, very few have followed through, mainly because they're involved in other therapies themselves and they just really want to know what this therapy is about, and also to use the knowledge as a referral source, so that they, if they had somebody that they might find would benefit from this therapy, that they would send them to Alice, hopefully. But I have trained people in England and in Norway. There are about 46 or 50 therapists throughout Norway now that are actively involved in this form of therapy. There are 9 trained in Ireland, but there are only 2 of us left. Some of them have gone back into their own professions. And, you know, it's just, it's very difficult to get people involved. Some people won't get involved because they say it's labor-intensive and time-consuming, because a therapist has to be there and wait on these children for 20 minutes every day over a period of 20 days if they're doing it at a clinic base. So you need to have your numbers to make it financially viable. use this therapy. Other people will actually assess and evaluate and then send a machine home where the parents can observe and apply their children and observe their children while they're taking the therapy. And then they have a phone in once a week or use email just to keep abreast of how the child is progressing. And they're reevaluated on the 7th and the 14th and the 21st day of the treatment.
That's cool. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, Monica, how would they do that, or could they?
Oh, well, they can do probably best to send all information to alicenixon@aol.com. Alice and I are frequently communicating either by phone or by email. So that would probably be the quickest way to reach me.
Okay. Alice, for you, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, is the email the only way they can get a hold of you?
No, I have a phone number they can reach me, as well as the alicenixon@aol.com email address. Okay. The number is 847-291-7020.
And could you say that again, please?
847-291-7020. And I operate out of Northbrook, Illinois. I might mention something else here about trainings and even color therapy is that there's a wonderful organization that does carry on this light work called the Syntonic Optometrists. And there's an organization called the College of Syntonic Optometry, and that's where Monica and I, why she was actually here in the States, we were doing a training for them in their annual conference. And they do optometric work, and they use color, and that's really the basis upon which the Downing technique came out of the optometric model. And there are Syntonic Optometrists throughout the States and actually throughout the world. And so sometimes people who are having vision difficulties or even some learning difficulties can find out if there's a Syntonic Optometrist near them and get some sort of benefit from that for optometric problems, people using color. And the website is www.syntonicphototherapy.com. And you spell Syntonic, S-Y-N-T-O-N-I-C, phototherapy.com, no dots or dashes, to look up some very interesting information there and to find practitioners who are using color for optometric purposes. I just thought I'd give them a plug because they do extraordinarily good work as well. And what we do is an offshoot of their model. We've kind of expanded it to include emotional work as well as work with learning difficulties and post-traumatic stress, anxiety, depression, sports enhancement, things of that sort.
There's also a part that in your bio, as you talk about self-esteem, how this process would help people's self-esteem.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I was just going to say a lot of people have got very low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times because of the way that they have been raised, or they've not been told that they're great, that they're wonderful. Instead, they've been told just the opposite: you're fat, you're ugly, stuff like that. So, with the light system that you guys use, how many times would somebody have to go to help with their self-esteem?
Well, I'm going to jump in here because I do a lot of the psychotherapy part of this model. Monica does too, but she does other things as well. And that's where the Photron device with the flash element that I was mentioning before, where you can via the flash element and train the brain into these unconscious places. Because all little children grow up living in delta and theta brainwave states, which are these almost unconscious hypnotic states of mind, and every bit of information that they take in from those in authority around them, whether it be teachers or parents, is taken on like a sponge. I kind of smile to think parents don't want their kids to be brainwashed. Well, they just are by nature of the beast, is that young children live in these hypnotic states all the time. So someone again and again, it is reaffirmed that they're fat or ugly or stupid or useless or whatever it is that the message is their parent is conveying, either in language or in attitude, why that becomes ingrained in those lower brainwave states. So when I see people who have low self-esteem, what I do is I have them sit in front of this light device, the Photron, and according to the color of that, I might use orange, which is related to the color of self-esteem, or disempowerment, which would be the color yellow, to try and empower them is that we would talk through some of their old childhood beliefs. And as we would talk through their beliefs, miraculously and amazingly, and with a lot of coaching on the part of the therapist, and I'm speaking more specifically right now of myself, is that I would coach them to rethink their belief system, to show them how in their life, perhaps even there are some other situations in their adult life that have shown up that would say that they are quite the contrary to what it was their dysfunctional parent or alcoholic parent or abusive, emotionally abusive parent might have tried to program into their little minds. And so it's quite wonderful and interesting to see the evolution that can happen after. Certainly, I would say 7 to 10 sessions, there should be some significant change of attitude and perception about who they are. It can enhance someone's self-esteem dramatically. We work through their belief system and kind of explode it and then put Humpty Dumpty back together in a much more helpful and closer to the truth way.
Yeah, when I'm doing my readings, I find a lot of people, mostly women more than men, unfortunately, have that self-esteem problem, thinking that if they are in an abusive marriage, that they have no way out because they have children, they don't have financial support, and they literally talk themselves into staying in that kind of a relationship because of, I would think, the self-esteem or because what they've seen as they were growing up or what they've been told. And I try to encourage them that, you know, they really do have to find a way to let go of that past that they have been, you know, raised with or told about if they really are to go on. You know, and let go of things. And if there's different techniques out there that people can use to do that, I think it's real important that, you know, that be known too. Now, I also know, Alice, that you do the EFT technique, which is emotional freedom technique.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And maybe explain that a little bit?
Well, the emotional freedom technique is something that really a lot of my clients kind of giggle at because it looks ridiculous while you're in the process of doing it, literally. And it was invented by a man named Callahan a number of years ago that came out of something called thought field therapy, and then a man named Gary Craig kind of expanded that and simplified it. And basically, a lot of information travels in our energetic being because we really are electrical beings. That is really a biological fact. And one of the many ways that our body talks to our psyche is through our meridians. And so as we are thinking about unpleasant thoughts and helplessness or whatever the unwanted negative feeling is, why there are places that you can tap on these meridians in your body. And as you are talking out loud and tapping on these various places in your body, you can clear away guilt and shame and fears and anger and upset about things that have happened in your past or that are actually happening in the present. And for the miraculous reason that we really don't know how or why this happens, like a lot of our pharmaceutical drugs, that we really don't know why or how we get the effect, but we do, is that people are released from the negative charge on memories and thoughts and attitudes and beliefs. I incorporate the EFT technique as I am doing my light therapy sessions while people are sitting facing the light at these various hypnotic flash rates, and I will often have them tapping and have them making certain statements and acknowledge certain feelings, giving these negative feelings a voice and countering often with the more desirable feeling that a person would rather be thinking about that incident. And I join that with something called an EMDR tool that's we call tappers. They're made by the neurotech people, where they actually hold little sensors in their hands and they vibrate and they wear a headset. And at the same time, they might have a vibration in their left hand and hear a boop in their left ear, and then it would move over to the right hand and the right ear back and forth, further entraining their brains to these unconscious places. So it's a very confusing. If you were to watch me doing a psychotherapy session, you would really think that's really got to be confusing to the brain and to the person, and it is. And that's part of my intention, is to try and discharge the negative charge on a lot of the emotional and mental concepts that people are carrying with them that are keeping them stuck. And so I'm using color, I'm using frequency by way of the sensate system and the auditory system. I'm having them tap on the meridians of their bodies to unleash some of their negative feelings and discharge the negative content of their feelings. And by the end of the session, what's always amazing to me, even as many times as I do this, that there is some great relief from some of these old feelings that people have that have been holding them back, keeping them stuck.
Yeah, relief is always, it's always good. Mm-hmm. Monica, were you going to add something?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say it's quite interesting because I work with the young offenders, referrals from the courts, and when they come to me as a thing for their anger management, I put them sitting in front of the light and we converse under specific colors, and I do the body tappings on them, and I also do other body work and body armoring with them. And they are quite amazed and surprised when they either feel better within themselves, they can actually feel an emotional release when they're doing the body tappings, like anger or frustration or irritation or rage, or when they're looking at specific colors around the orange frequency and the yellow frequency, which would be around self-esteem issues and about power issues. As they're talking, initially they would see distortions in the color, like black and green and purple and so on. And as they begin to rationalize their behavior and come into their own truth of the behavior they used was ineffective, but if they used a different type of behavior that would be more effective, the color pings into its true color. And they're quite amazed and startled. You know, they will say, oh my God, the color has just become yellow. And I said, yes, that's because you're in your truth, and the color that you're viewing is about being in your own power, taking control over your own life situations, and being accountable, taking responsibility and being accountable for your actions, and also letting go of what's not working for you, what's not beneficial. And it's quite amazing that they see this result for themselves. I have done nothing to the color. But because they have changed their belief system during the talking process, the color has identified with their truth, and it becomes very, very clear.
That's where you really change their perception in a biological way as well as in an emotional and mental way.
Yeah. And it's long-lasting.
Yeah, I would think that's pretty important, you know, especially for, you know, people who are coming to you, Monica, for that, because, you know, they're so caught up with all the other things, and a lot of it is guilt that they've got locked inside, but they may not realize it or know it. But to see a change in color, you know, anything that somebody can see while they're doing it is going to make a big impression on them emotionally.
On them. Yes, because they will often say to me, have you changed that color? I'm sure you have. And I said, no, I'm standing behind your back. I'm listening to you. It's your perception and your belief system has changed because the way you were acting before was not working for you. So you've challenged yourself to think of a new way of behaving that is more beneficial. And then that synchronizes with your truth and your perception. Mm-hmm. And then you will see the color that is perceived to be the pure yellow or the pure orange or whatever frequency that I have them on at that time.
So everybody's mind and soul basically really does know the truth.
It's the
way that we think or the use of logic a lot of times or whatever words they want to use that kind of shuts that down. And it sounds like you know, with what the two of you are doing, you're bringing it back up to almost perfection for that person's own inner being.
Exactly.
To me, that's real important for a lot of people because, again, a lot of people, I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people are under the impression that we are these horrible creatures here, that we're only supposed to be punished, and we're not supposed to have anything that we want, and we're not supposed to, you know, have a good life. And by changing a lot of their concepts through the techniques you guys use and getting back to truth, I think that would also help stimulate them and want them to stay in truth better.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And this is why it's ideal to get to the children very early on, before they develop beliefs and behaviors that crystallize in them as a defense mechanism. As they grow up into adults, which is much harder then to shift these blocks that they have created from their childhood. So that's why we like to get the children very early on who have learning difficulties, mood and behavior, or who have family relationship issues, so that we can deal with them through the light devices and then eliminate their problems or reinforce or enhance more positive belief systems so that they will grow up in a more balanced and more aware way.
And how, the light device has that.
Sorry?
How young can you start with children? Like, what's the youngest age that you can start with them or have started?
Well, I have dealt with children at 3 years of age, the children who would be suffering from uncontrollable temper tantrums. And as young as three. And for those children, they would sit with their parents, either one of parents, sit on their parents' lap, and they would just look at specific frequencies of colors that would keep them quiet and calm and relaxed for about 10 minutes. We call it a shaping program, where they sit with their parent for 10 minutes over a period of 20 days. Sometimes they would work 3 days together or 5 days, just for 10 minutes. They could do it 10 minutes twice a day with a 4 to 6 hour period in between, or just once a day. And the whole idea would be that they would sit there, look at the light, listen to some music or listen to a parent reading or listen to some stories on CDs and just relax and take in the light to balance up the nervous system. And sometimes they can actually talk about their behavior. The light gives them exposure to be able to articulate about why they're behaving that way, so the parents can talk to them about their behavior and also talk to them about what is acceptable to the parent about their behavior or unacceptable. And while they're under the light, they seem to be more receptive. So it can be very, very beneficial from a 3 to 5 year old. And then when they come into the school system, it would usually be about 7. And the parents there would be dealing with children who were falling behind in their reading, their math, their spelling programs, or who were disruptive in the classroom or out in the playground. And then you would deal with the whole program there of light therapy.
Do you ever do a parent-child therapy group together? Because my thought is that some parents have a really tough time with the way their kids act. And when that's going on, the parent themselves is going to have all the stress. They're going to have all of their pinned-up anger, and yet they're trying to tell this child that they're not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I have done, and Alice has done on a number of occasions, that sometimes it would depend on the emotional state of the parent, but some parents would actually benefit from the psychological aspects of color, that is, coming into the to the therapist and having counseling-assisted, light-assisted sessions. Some parents will actually do the stimulation therapy at home with their children. They themselves will be assessed and evaluated. And when the child has finished their light sessions, the parents will go on and take their light sessions also. So you can do a neurosensory enhancement program for both the child and the parent at home if the psychological issues are not, sorted to the fore. Otherwise, they would come in and they would do light-assisted psychotherapy with the therapist involved.
Yeah, I think it would be important to work with the parent while you're working with the child, only because that way the parent can relate a little bit better as to what they're really feeling, so that they know if any of their energy is being transmitted to what the child might be doing at the moment.
Yes. Well, we often say that at home, to change the behavior of the child, you have to look at the parent's behavior towards the child and the whole family dynamics. And but we do coach and guide the parents when they come in for the reevaluations as to how they need to change, because often they will come back and say, now he's gone, he's very aggressive, he's more outspoken. And they often take assertiveness as a form of aggression. So we have to guide the parents into noticing the difference and how to respectfully listen to the child. And as long as the child is requesting in an appropriate manner, then the parent needs to adapt their behavior and attitude towards the child and the request of the child as they're going through the light stimulation therapy.
soon. Yeah, I think that's real important. Alice, can we give out your phone number and email address and stuff again before we run out of time?
The phone number here in the States is 847-291-7020, 847-291-7020, and the email address would be to Alice Nixon, A-L-I-C-E-N-I-X-O-N, at AOL.com.
Do either one of you happen to have a website?
You know, we don't.
We've been
working on this off and on for the longest time, and we've been so busy doing the therapy we haven't had really much of a chance to put a website together. I'm hoping sometime within the next 6 months to get something up that would be under the title of www.brainbreakthrough.com, because that's really the name of our organization that Monica and I have set up and work in conjunction with a physician and also another practitioner who we cross-refer to each other and work on the same kinds of issues from different perspectives.
Okay, now we're going to have to do this part quickly, but I think this is also important. You use sound therapy because I think sound therapy is also important. So can you explain that just kind of quickly?
Okay. What Monica and I both use is a sound therapy program called the Listening Program that's put out by a company called AdvancedBrain.com. And there's also a website, www.thelisteningprogram.com, which gives lots of information about the technology and what's put together. There's a big difference between music therapy and sound therapy. Music therapy is really meant to kind of make you feel good and kind of change your attitude and your mood. And sound therapy is very specific, frequency-oriented to achieve a specific end. The specific end that the listening program is addressing is the inability of a child with a learning problem or a balance and coordination problem or even a mood problem, a mood disorder, is that the brain has become non-receptive to high-frequency sound. So what this particular sound therapy program does over a 20-week period, really, you do this therapy program twice, back-to-back, and then take a vacation of a month or two and then begin it again, is they are step-by-step, CD-by-CD, track-for-track, introducing gradually over the first 20 weeks higher and higher frequency sound using classical music as the primary carrier of the sound, and each week dropping out the lower frequency sound so that by the end of the 20 weeks and your last CD that you're listening to in the program, it almost sounds like a bunch of mice playing violins. The frequencies are very high. And there's gating and filtering that's a part of the science of this therapy. And since we don't have a lot of time, I strongly suggest that people go online to read about www.thelisteningprogram.com to read about the technology. It's brilliant, and it's fabulous for sound sensitivities, for kids who have auditory processing problems. And the brain is a very tricky, high-powered engine, and between color and light and sound, that is really a vibration that all of us are made of, and that is what all matter is made of, is vibration. And so when we're dealing with color and sound and addressing how the brain operates, we have access to the brain in a way that psychopharmacology tries to reach, only they introduce chemicals that have an abreaction in certain areas and helpful effectiveness in other areas. This is non-invasive in the sense that we're all frequency, and the side effects are few and far between and nothing that's long-standing. And it's a gentle way to treat the brain and any of the anomalies in the brain by using frequency of both sound and color. And it's fun.
And what's wonderful about this program also is that it's a home program, and all the members of the family can use it. And so
not just for the
particular child who has the presenting problem, but it's very, very safe and convenient to use in your own home environment. And it's a half an hour therapy, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 in the evening, or a half an hour altogether, depending on your time restraints over the 20-week period. And all family members can use it. It's a lifelong therapy that can be put aside for a year and then picked up again and again as required.
That's great. You know, we're really running out of time. So before we run totally out of time, I would like to thank both of you for being on the show. It sounded really good. I hope people give you a call. I hope people understand that there are other alternatives now, because there are.
Yes.
And Monica, I hope you have a safe trip back home. Come back
again. Thank you very much. Thank you. Lovely speaking to you. God bless you now.
Thank you.
Bye.
And Alice, I will be talking with you too, because you're in the area. So
yes, indeed.
God bless you guys. You guys take care, and we'll be
talking.
Thank
you for having us on, Nancy.
You're very welcome. And I would like to thank you, the listening audience out there, because I think you will enjoy a lot of the shows. May God bless all of you, and we will be talking next week. Again, take care. Bye now.